Amen. Amen. Would y'all like to inhale for just a moment and speak Yahweh with me, if you would? Yahweh. Does everybody feel better now? Good. You know, it's what an elaborate, wonderful job of setting the environment that is exciting for our children. Beautiful job here. Beautiful job at the Fellowship Center. The rooms are set and ready. Prayer has been going on. The teachers have been getting all the things ready, be it the crafts, the recreation. All the things are beginning just to pull together for the epic part of Bible school this year. And so may God richly get exalted and His truth never changes. Amen. Never changes. Y'all right? Never changes. Okay. Good. Because that's what we're going to talk about all week. And as we've set up, it has been set up for us this week. I've watched the Southern Baptist Convention. I've watched other churches. And I see how people set up worship. And there's a variety. Some of which churches that I watch and some things that I watch this week is quite disappointing for the kingdom of God. But then I saw some things that are very encouraging. And every DNA of every church is a little different, but we maintain the gospel truth. We stay to the doctrines of God. Amen? And so as we set up worship, whether it be lights are on, lights are off, whether there's a praise band, whether there's a worship team, whether there's a choir, we try to honor God. And I appreciate and love so much the tech guys that's upstairs, the choir, leading the choir, our directors Jeff and Diane, and then Sherlyn at the evenings, that just leads us and draws us to worship. Because here's the deal. They're not doing this to draw attention to them. They're doing this to draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And that's why we sing. And that's why we worship. And so as elaborate as we try, today we're going to enter into a worship like not any of us have ever experienced. We're going to look at it because we get the vision here, and we're going to read it this morning. But the worship center is where we're going to go this morning. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but since we've changed to 10:30, sometimes people come at 11 and worship is already in progress. That's okay. Glad you're here. Praise God. Today, we're going to look at a worship service that's already in progress. Revelation chapter 4. We're transitioning in chapter 4, where Jesus had been speaking to the churches, and he had a specific message to the seven churches. And today we enter in a worship service that's been taking place in heaven. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Hereafter. Okay? And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. The rainbow. We see most times a half of a rainbow, right? What does the rainbow represent? Promise from God that he won't just so you get that, because the world don't. But here, it's not just a half circle. Notice, full, complete, complete promise. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And then it goes into the beast. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, okay, the mightiest of the creatures. And the second was like the beast of a calf, and the strongest. The third beast was the face of a man. And the fourth beast was a flying eagle, swift eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, what are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and is to come. And when those beasts give glory, honor, and thanks to him, they sit on the throne who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their thrones before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Go with me in prayer. Lord, as we have the opportunity to gather in your name and talk to you right now, after we have read your word about this worship service that's already in progress in heaven, Lord, expose to us, speak to us, reveal to us what you'd have us to do and respond to this worship service that's going on. Father, you are so worthy to receive all the glory and all the honor and all the power. So pray today, Lord, that the door to receive you as Savior and Lord is open in the hearts of people that will receive it. For those that are your children, I pray the encouragement of continuing faithfully walking with you, that one day that we will worship you in this capacity, in this dimension. May you bless this service and do a work here, God, in this earthly worship, as only you could do. Holy Spirit, rain down. Pour out this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus is clearly speaking. If Jesus was clearly speaking to you, you felt the Holy Spirit, that you knew that it was God speaking through the Holy Spirit to you, and you seen an open door, and he said, come up hither. Would you go in? Would you say, why? Would you go in? If during the invitation that the Holy Spirit of God is knocking on your heart, drawing you to make a decision, that's your open door. Would you go in? Would you go in? He gives us that choice. If you clearly heard Jesus saying, come up, come hither, would there be any good reason that you would reject that offer? Jesus is offering to come to him in a new dimension in heaven. This worship service is already in progress. All of us do have curious minds, don't we? We want to know things, right? I don't know if you have anybody in your family that's like this, but if you said the words or you said a statement like this, I know something that you don't, would they torment you? Tell me. Tell me what you know. I know something you don't know. Would they torment you? Would it go on and on? You better tell me. Because curiosity gets us, doesn't it? Curiosity gets... We should know the truth of God to be able to give a response to questions that are asked. What will heaven be like? What will heaven be like? Some people have asked, what will hell be like? They think it's going to be a frat party going on. And just part of my friends, I'd just soon go there. And I heard a statement from a young lady, probably in her late 30s, this week. She said, I wish you Christians would just leave me alone and let me go to hell. I want to go. Would you just shut up and leave me alone? Pretty bold, isn't it? I was sharing with the students in Sunday school this morning. There was a man on the lake, a very wealthy man. He was an attorney, go figure. And they're on this big barge on the lake, and everybody's drinking and partying. And during the party, the sun was out at first, but then all of a sudden dark clouds started coming in, and they began to say, we need to get to shore. We need to get in before the storm hits. And he says, what are y'all afraid of lightning and storms for? And they said, we don't want to be out here. We're scared of you. And he says, what, do you believe in God or something? And he started mocking God. Okay? They're like inebriated with alcohol at this time. And so this attorney had the audacity to raise his hand and says, okay, really, if there is a God, go ahead and strike me dead. Lightning at the last word he said came down and struck that man, and he fell dead on the barge. Would you have changed your belief system at that time if you were there, a party? God isn't to be mocked. And sometimes we got this small view of who God is. God is almighty. And he's preparing a place for us that where he is, we might be also. What is that place like? What is heaven like? You can read scriptures and find out some, but we really don't know. What is the worship service like? We can read scriptures and find out. And there wasn't this stuff going on that was being staged. This is just authentic worship before a holy and just God. And who was the attention drawn to? Not to the beast, not to the men, not to the 12 disciples, not to the 12 apostles, to the Lord Jesus Almighty. That's where the attention was being drawn. What will the worship service look like? Have you ever been in a new church that you've not been into before, and you look around and you wonder what worship's going to be like? It's like, okay. When we were going places with teenagers, we'd go to different churches, and they'd always wonder, what's this worship service going to be like? Well, when the girls and Karen and I went on vacation, we always go to a church. We find a new church to go to. Just because we're on vacation doesn't mean we don't go to church. So we go to church, and a lot of times we'll even go to Wednesday night Bible study or prayer meeting with somebody. But we went to this one church, and we got in, and we sat down. It was kind of early. That way we get a chance to look at it, and the girls can get inside and leave me at the end pew, so if somebody does something wild, they get dad first and it and skate. Set of drums, bass guitar, electric guitar, keyboard. That didn't startle the one thing that bothered them in this worship service was this big chalice that was sitting on the pulpit. Big chalice that's sitting there, and they're like questioning, what are they going to do with that, Dad? They're going to probably praise and do that stuff, but what's that thing? What are we supposed to do if that thing comes to us? Or what do we have to do? And I was like, well, sometimes you have to do, if you're in a service, they'll take the cup and they'll pass it, but they turn it just a little bit and pass to the next one. It's like, oh my goodness, do we have to do that? And it's all like, so pastor comes out. He comes out and speaks a little bit and talks, and he says, I just want to thank whoever did this for me today. And he picked up the chalice and he says, I love chocolate milk. Set it down. When he told us that that was chocolate milk and he took a drink and it was just for him, the spirits relaxed and we were able to worship. In this worship center, as well as the worship center that's already in progress, I pray that we feel relaxed. And when I know when we get to heaven, we're in worship, it's going to be a relaxed setting. We're just going to love it. We're going to be filled with joy and like, wow, this has all came together. What a beautiful setting. Got a surprise for you. In this worship center, where they're already having in heaven, men are singing. Men are singing. I know, men, I've been there. I'm a man, I ain't singing. They're singing. There's 24 of them, we read. 24 are singing, praising God. I just challenge you to practice now. Hey, let's go to heaven. We'll sing. In the book of Nehemiah that we're working through and stuff, the trumpet sounded whenever they needed help. When they were rebuilding the wall, they would sound a trumpet. People would come. They'd come running because they knew they needed help. In 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn there, please. 1 Thessalonians. It's still in the New Testament, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16. Watch this. You know, we're talking about the trumpets and all this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the what? Trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we shall our alive remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So, at that moment, we get transported to a different dimension in a worship service that's already started. And I really believe this, that when we enter in that new dimension, that we'll automatically start singing praises to God. We'll probably fall on our knees, and any rewards and crowns that we get, that we present them to Him at His feet. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you to be worshipped. Some like to interpret the hereafter that's spoken of here as a prior to our time that's already took place. But these events have yet to happen, okay? Studying and looking at the literal sense of this, that can only be said to have been fulfilled by making what's going to happen next. Therefore, we regard what Jesus will show John in the following chapters of Revelation chapter 5 as belonging to the future, as proceeding to the coming reign of Jesus on earth. This is what's to come next. That's what he's given us in the Revelation here to be fulfilled. John, when Jesus said, come up here, he responded immediately. He was in the Spirit. He was in heaven's worship service. None of us can fathom what this worship service is going to be like. And guess what? We cannot manufacture, as best we try and should, what this worship service is going to be like. The Holy Spirit of God, Jesus, and everyone, the beast, and everyone is just falling down and worshiping holy, holy, holy God. You and I have the opportunity, as we read Revelation, to get a glimpse of this heavenly worship that's taking place while we're still here on earth. With our 2020 natural eyes, we cannot see what is really going on around us even today. If we could, we probably wouldn't live. But there's something going on even now, as we said here this morning, that we cannot see with our human eyes. There's a spiritual thing going on. Spiritual things is going on right now, even as we sit. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit of God is in dominant power this morning, that we do not allow Satan to destroy anything that God is trying to do here this morning, or even for those watching. Because there is a spiritual battle that is going on that we cannot see. As dads, we like to think that we can handle things and we're in control of things. And, you know, we know what's going on and we're experts of life, but really, we're not. I told somebody this week, the older I get, the less I know. That's why I'm going to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, because I can do nothing without Him. I can't. And it reminds me that I need to come to Him. That's why I need to read His Word. I need to study. I need to be a part of worship. I need to be part of what's going on in Bible school. And I need to diligently seek and listen into His plans, what He has for me to do, as well as what you need to do as well, as a dad, as a mom. We're going to be held accountable. We may not think so, but we're going to be held accountable for what God's done in our lives and what we're going to do with it. We're going to be held accountable. And as dads, we're held at a higher standard because we're responsible for our families. Unfortunately, that's been handed off to a lot of different people. And we need men to stand up to the plate. Okay? We need men to stand up to the plate. And so men, if you're standing up to the plate, praise God. May God honor you. May God reward you. May God give you the strength. May God give you the power. But I want you to do this as well. Look for those men who are not. Pray for them. Develop a relationship with them. And engage in a conversation of the gospel with them. So that they may turn. Because look, when the man in the family gets saved and baptized and begin to be discipled, 90% of the rest of the family will follow suit. So the man gets saved and on the road to discipleship, the family will follow. Pretty astounding responsibility we have. So don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. We can teach our children how to throw a ball. We can teach them how to throw a curveball. We can teach them how to hunt. We can teach them how to fish. We can even teach them how to scramble an egg if we know how. Or burn one. We can teach them good manners. We can teach them to fold clothes. We can teach them to take out the trash. Or remind them daily. I recall, though, my dad trying to teach me how to throw a curveball. Irrelevant to what we're speaking about, but it just dawned on me. He said, son, you're 12 years old now. Well, we're going to learn how to throw a curveball, and I'm going to show you. So he gets back so far, and he goes, you're going to hold the ball like this, and you're going to twist, and you'll see the spin like this, and when it comes to you, it's going to turn. Okay? So it's going to come in. It's going to go like this. So just move your glove and catch it. So, okay, I got it. So he rears back and throws what's supposed to have been a curveball. Well, I take my glove and I went like this, and the ball comes straight and hit me between the nose and mouth right here. Just blooded me. I'm down there like spitting, hurting. When you get hit like that, it don't come until later. It don't hurt right then. It's when the heartbeat starts coming back that you start hurting. So I'm down there like this. I'm like, that hurt, you know? So Dad comes up and he said, now, son, that was a hanging curveball. You never want to throw one of those. I'm like, this is a hard lesson to learn. And yeah, there are some hard lessons to learn. But dads, let's teach them standards that God has for us. I know we'll do better by doing that. And I think there's a lot of dads that needs to know that. We need to teach them the biblical view. Your family observes what you do. And we come to worship, we gather together to worship. But really, worship is going on outside the walls as well. Because worship is what we do. Not just in here. It's Monday through Saturday. Worship is what we do. Worship is what we say. Worship is what we sing. So you're worshiping all week long. What does your worship say to other people? Okay? Way too long we've allowed the world to push their views on our children in life, when we are the ones responsible for that. God's Word is still the best training tool and teaching for how life skills should be. We should take advantage of that. We should fully surrender to the Lord for His instructions, His guidance, and let Jesus be on the throne of our daily lives. Not just Sunday for a short amount of time, but surrender to Him and let Him be on the throne. That means He's in control and we're not. Do you get that? He's in control, we're not. Notice that there's only one that sat on the throne. Don't get it to 24, no, that one, no. One sat on the throne. Having a totally surrendered lordship to God was what they were doing. The beast, the animals, the eagle, all creatures, all mankind was focused on one on the throne and worshiping Him. Notice the setting. 24 at the throne. There were 12 tribes, the nation of Israel, and Jesus called how many disciples? 12. So the 12 apostles representing the Old Testament, or the New Testament, and 12 representing the Old Testament that gather here for worship. And they weren't fussing amongst themselves. They were worshiping God, right? They were turned and focused on Him. The mightiest of the created things, the beast full of eyes, and nothing could escape what they saw, was worshiping. They all were worshiping Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing what the church today would do when we just use the gifts and the talents that God has given us, and that we all show up for Bible school and we worship Jesus Sunday night through Thursday night? Wouldn't it be awesome? Could we just see what God would do with that if we just said, okay, God, I know I had all this going on. I'm going to honor You. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to honor You because I want to worship You all week long for this amount of time, 3 hours a night. I'm going to just devote coming together to worship You and saying to You, holy, holy, holy are You, God. Jesus, who was, who is, and who is to come. There was unity at this worship center. They wasn't focusing on where we're going to go eat, what we're going to do, or what was wrong with the worship center, or what happened here, what happened there, my seat was hard, it was too hot, it was too cold. They were worshiping Jesus and Jesus alone. Guys, they didn't care about all these other intangibles that didn't make any difference. They were worshiping Jesus because of who He is and Him alone. Do you get the picture? Do you see what's going on here? This is serious business. This is what we're doing to honor Him. We want to respect Him. We want to honor Him. He is the one that's holy. He is the one that we should be focused on. Just worshiping Him, singing and praising. And regardless of whether you don't sing or you do sing, you don't do it for people around you. You do it for Him. You honor Him and say, well, I don't like that kind. Don't make a difference. If it's honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, sing it loud and praises to God. Get off the high horse and get on the road to discipleship and loving Jesus. The unity, the praises. Even though John, when he came in, he was so captivated with the worship center itself, what he was seeing. He was so captivated beyond something he had ever saw or could even comprehend what worship service was really about. You know, a lot of people think, man, we got some strong worship going on now. We really felt the Spirit. That ain't nothing compared. When John saw what he saw here, he was like utterly amazed. He was going, wow, wow. Look, he was so captivated. But then, all of a sudden, it drawed attention. I'm looking around and this is awesome. But then he looked and he saw all creatures. He saw the 24. Everybody in there was focused on one on the throne, worshiping Him and Him alone. Verse 11, Thou art worthy, worthy, O Lord, to worship. It's more than singing. It's how we live our lives to honor God. Everything we do is to respect Jesus. Everything is worthy in our lives to be worshiping Him. It's beyond gathering, which is important. We should gather because He tells us to. It's what we do throughout the week. Can we worship Him? Are you willing to totally surrender everything and worship Him? I'm serious. Are you willing to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and worship Him? He's worthy. He alone is worthy of that. Do you understand the worth? Do you really understand the worth, the value, and the power of the one that we worship? Do you understand the one that we worship with what we do and what we say? The one who will stand before one day and will say, enter in, good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I never knew you. This is an eternity. This is an eternal decision. Whether you spend eternity in paradise in a worship center like this, or you spend eternity in torment in hell. Because one day, everyone will bow down. No, yeah, you will. Everyone will bow down. No escaping that. No escaping that. There's a reality and a truth that every one of us we'll stand before a holy and just God and give an account. And the question I want to ask you this morning as we close, do you have peace with God? Are you in right standing with Him? Does your life 24/7 honor and worship Him? Because He is worthy. He's worthy. I believe God's word when He says, Thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created for Him. Are you at peace? If not this morning, you can. Do you need just to bow down and worship Him? And say, Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You for allowing me the opportunities What is it you need to do? Maybe you need to intercede with somebody. Maybe you need to come for salvation. This morning, the Holy Spirit of God's drawing you to say yes to Jesus and to have peace that comes from Him and Him alone. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand, please. I'm going to ask Tim if he would, if you'd just find something to play at this time for the invitation. The way instrumentalists, nobody has to come up here and play or nothing. You can just focus right where you are as you stand.